Chapter 3. The next morning, Lexi woke up with the taste of whiskey and lemon on her tongue. Who knew that hot toddies were made out of such vile ingredients? It turned out that Nance was some sort of hot toddy expert, and Violet had called upon her to make the drink for Leonard. Lexi had tried one herself and ended up throwing half of it down the drain, but she still felt sluggish. Sprinkles, on the other hand, was as peppy as a spring daffodil. Lexi left Jack in bed, wound her brown hair into a ponytail, and put the harness on the small white Shih Tzu poodle mix, letting the dog drag her halfway down the hall. In front of the library, Sprinkles let out an excited yip and darted inside, ripping the leash out of Lexi's hand before she could stop her. Meow. Houdini had been napping on the couch. He leaped off, humped his back, and swiped at Sprinkles. Yip! Sprinkles jumped back, and Houdini clawed his way across the top of the couch and up the green velvet drapes. He jumped onto the top of a bookshelf and crouched there, glaring and hissing at Sprinkles. Sprinkles, cut it out. The cat does not want to play. Lexi checked Sprinkles for damage and then, not finding any, picked up the end of the leash and shot Houdini an apologetic look. Lexi dragged Sprinkles out of the room and down the front stairs. Then they went through the conservatory to the grassy area outside, where Sprinkles busied herself sniffing an azalea bush. A black paw shot out from under the bush. Beep! Sprinkles jumped back, and a black ball of fur shot out of the bush, hurtling around the side of the house, out of sight. Was that Houdini? How did he get out here so fast? Sprinkles whined her answer, and Lexi squatted down to inspect the dog again. This time, she had one little scratch. By the way the dog was carrying on, you'd think she'd been mortally wounded, but it was merely a surface scratch. You're okay. Lexi patted her between the ears. You want a treat? That perked the dog up, and she happily trotted behind Lexi to the terrace, where Nance, Ruth, Ida, and Helen were seated at a white wrought iron table. Look who decided to get up. Nance leaned down to scratch Sprinkles behind the ears, then squinted back up at Lexi. Was that half a hot toddy too much for you? Ida snickered, then covered her mouth. I guess so. Lexi shot Ida a look. What time is it? It's 7:30, Ruth answered. It is? Lexi could see most of the production crew sitting around the terrace at the tables. Danny Manning paced rapidly back and forth. What is everyone doing out here? I thought filming started at 7. I know, but Leonard hasn't come down yet, and everyone is dying to find out the secret, Helen said. Leonard had refused to expound on his announcement the night before, despite everyone's begging. That's right, Ruth added, without looking up from her iPad. Lexi craned her neck to see what was on the screen. It looked like some kind of plant. Ruth, who had recently been studying formal gardening, caught her looking. I'm gathering data on some of the plants in the gardens. They're rather overgrown right now, but Violet plans to set them right. There are some rare varieties here. I'm looking them up on the internet and cataloging them for her. That sounds like fun, Lexi said as Ida rolled her eyes. Gardening wasn't exciting enough for Ida.
I say, we go wake Leonard up, Joyce said loudly.
I agree. We have to get started,
a navy t-shirted man from the production crew replied.
Come on, Danny. Let's go roust him.
The two of them took off inside, and Joy got up from her table, her hand wrapped around a thick mug of coffee.
I'll start getting set up.
Let's go in and watch, Nan suggested. I want to find out what his big secret is.
Oh, good. These chairs hurt my tush, Helen said. The terrace was filled with the sound of wrought iron scraping cement as everyone got up and traipsed inside. Lexi was careful to cinch up Sprinkle's leash so as to avoid another altercation with Houdini. Lexi could hear them knocking on Leonard's bedroom door upstairs.
Leo, come on, get up.
Leo.
Joy appeared beside Lexi, shuffling uneasily on her feet. I've never known Leonard to be late. Her voice carried an ominous timbre. Louder knocking came from upstairs. The group had gathered at the bottom of the stairs, and a few of them started walking up.
Just open the door, Danny said.
The sounds of the brass doorknob rattling drifted down the stairs.
It's locked.
Leo!
No answer. By now, the group was at the top of the stairs. They could see Danny and the navy-shirted crew member huddled in front of Leonard's door. Danny's fingers drummed the side of the door nervously. He turned to face the crowd.
Who has a key?
Everyone turned to look at Violet, who shook her head.
I don't have any of the keys to this place. They said they'd been lost long ago.
We're going to have to break in. He could be hurt in there,
someone said. Navy Shirt frowned at the speaker.
What? No, you can't break the door down. It's solid oak.
Jack had been roused by the commotion and stepped forward to inspect the door. He shrugged.
You might be able to crack it loose from the door frame with enough force.
Leonard, we're all waiting,
Danny yelled. No answer. Danny and Navy Shirt looked at each other.
Okay, everyone stand back. We'll have a run at it.
Everyone shuffled back a step, and Danny and the other man rammed their shoulders against the door. Lexi heard the sound of splitting wood, but the door didn't cave in.
Again.
More splitting wood. Lexi could see the fresh wood along the doorframe, but not enough for the door to open.
Again.
This time, the door burst open. Lexi could see someone lying in the bed. Danny ran to the bed.
Leo.
Danny shook the figure. An amber bottle rolled out of Leo's hand and clattered to the floor, then rolled under the bed. Mrs. Pendrake pushed her way inside the room, waddled to the bed, and leaned over. She let out a shriek.
Someone call 911!
Everyone scrambled for their cell phones as Danny turned a ghostly pale face toward the crowd.
It's too late.
He's already dead.